Hello there. Welcome to the Youthful and Useful podcast by Leap Africa. My name is Joy Gbinedion and I will be your host for today. The ENSAS protest that happened in Nigeria in the year 2020 served as an awakening for the Nigerian youth, especially in the areas of policy, politics, and governance. Thousands of young Nigerians gathered together daily in different locations across Nigeria to protest police brutality without an apparent leader. Now, one of the lessons learned from the protest is that young people need more effective channels and platforms for advocacy through which their voices can be heard. The learnings from the ENSAS protest led Leap Africa, in collaboration with Ford Foundation and MacArthur Foundation, to develop an initiative called the Nigeria Youth Futures Fund, NYFF, to educate and empower young people across Nigeria. On the Youthful and Useful podcast today, we will be discussing the Nigeria Youth Futures Fund. And joining me for this discussion is the man who has had the opportunity of spearheading the Leap Africa team in executing this initiative, the project lead for the Nigeria Youth Futures Fund, NYFF, Opeyemi Orinowo. Thank you so much, Opeyemi, for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
My name is Opeyemi Orinowo. I'm the project lead for the Nigeria Youth Futures Fund. The Nigeria Youth Futures Fund is a collaborative initiative of three powerful institutions: Leap Africa, MacArthur Foundation, and Ford Foundation, to strengthen and enable young Nigerians for youth leadership, activism, and social change through outcome-driven policymaking and inclusive resourcing that will enable young Nigerians, you know, shape and contribute to national development. I'm fortunate enough to be saddled with the responsibility of leading the delivery of this project together with an amazing team, you know, and supported by largely by the Leap team as well.
Thank you for that introduction. Now, you mentioned that the Nigeria Youth Futures Fund, NYFF, is a collaborative initiative. What really inspired this initiative?
Okay, so the background for the NYFF, the Nigeria Youth Futures Fund, you know, emanated from extensive study that was pontificating towards a youth dividend in terms of the youth bulge we have not only in Nigeria but across the African continent, and the growing disconnect between young people and the governed, that is the ruling class, and the need right now to bridge that gap to ensure that we have a more responsive government and we have a more active citizens who are able to understand how governance works and making sure that, you know, government is inclusive. I would like to reference point NSAS. NSAS was like a crystallization of young people coming out to express their grievance towards a system that doesn't work. It started out as a protest against police brutality, but it metamorphosed into something stronger, you know, around a total disconnect and how expression of their grievance around how the elite or the ruling class have governed in such a way that is exclusive. I mean, police brutality was just an offshoot of that. It has to do with a system that is not responsive to the yearnings and aspirations of young Nigerians. So these three institutions, springing off that energy, decided that there is need right now to resource the ecosystem to ensure right now that, you know, we bridge that gap and young people are enabled, not only going the mile of holding government accountable, but empowering young people themselves to be change agents, to be able to make a difference in their own capacity. So that, I would say that was part of the springboard. And of course, if you take a step back and look at civil movement across the decades, there was a time in Nigeria where social political activism started from the universities, where when the university calls, the entire country catches cold in that sense. So that level of awareness, we've seen it dwindle over the years. So NYFF is also focused around how do we, you know, reactivate that level of consciousness, where not only are we a generation that's able to watch Big Brother and connect with that, but we're also responsive in our social responsibility on making sure that the country is working for the most of us. So those are part of the inspirations that led to the establishment of the initiative NYFF and seeing how well can realize a more inclusive country for everybody.
Now, I'm curious to know, what exactly about the ENSAS protest inspired the initiative called NYFF?
Right. So I would say that, I mean, those who change their country or who are able to bring about change are those who believe that they can. And ENSAS was a crystallization of social activism that cut across religion, tribe. It was one of those times that young people came together beyond, you know, breaking those things that would normally have separated us as a people in terms of ethnicity, religion, and all whatnot. But for one of the very few times in recent history that we had a social movement that broke those barriers of class, of gender, of religion, of ethnicity, where there was a uniform cry around an issue. And we believe that it's those kind of watershed moments that move society forward in an ultimately, you know, results to a more endearing democracy that is representative of the people. So I'll say NSAS was a watershed moment in civil activism in Nigeria, at least in recent history, because it showed what is possible when we come together, you know, in terms of being able to bring governments to be accountable. I wouldn't say bring government to their knees, but bringing government to a point of responsiveness, because ultimately democracy is supposed to be about the people, right? And if a certain percentage of the population accounts for almost 70% of the population, it means that the government needs to be responsive towards their yearnings. So NSAS was a crystallization of civil activism in recent history. It showed what is possible when young people decide to come together and demand change or a better society. So we're leveraging that, leveraging those voices to see that how do we empower those voices, and also taking it a step further, right? Because understanding of the theory of change is beyond the winogogri and protesting and being on the field and saying, carrying placards. While that is effective in terms of getting attention, the real change goes beyond that. So NYFF right now is situated around the theory of change, of saying that, okay, beyond the protests, what's the process by which change happens as far as policy is concerned, as far as making demands for budgetary allocations and things like that. So we are demystifying the whole process of governance and trying to empower young people to understand how change happens. That while soft protest is good and can be effective in drawing attention, it goes beyond that in realizing the change that we would like to see in the country. So we get towards, you know, rising above that to now say that let's go beyond that, or open up to the point of getting young people even become decision makers themselves, bringing them to the table, not on the fringes of power where protest is only the avenue by which we have voices ahead. We're ensuring that, you know, we have young people in those positions of power who are young themselves, who understand the challenges that young people face and are able to bring about the change that we deserve. So it's a full spectrum of activism and social change. And as I said earlier, in the goal of NYFF, you know, outcome-driven policymaking and inclusive resourcing, those are two big phrases that really encapsulate what NYFF is trying to do. How do we ensure that there's that outcome-driven policymaking? Because from protest, you know, the next level right now is that outcome-driven policy, because it's change we're trying to achieve. And change, the way change happens in governance is through policymaking, it's through bill passage, it's through ensuring that, you know, there are acts that support some of these things that we're aspiring for, ultimately decision making. So NYFF is positioned around championing these causes.
Thank you for that detailed explanation. Now, speaking to your programs, projects, and activities, how is NYFF achieving these goals that you have mentioned?
Right, that's an interesting question. So the initiative, the project sits on three programming pillars. The first one being the national visioning process. The national visioning process is really aimed around, sits with the outcome-driven policymaking, where we've gone across the country, we've been to the entire six geopolitical zones, where we are consulting and having retreats with young people to discuss and have dialogue around the Nigeria they would like to see, or ultimately towards getting what the pressure points are. We've been to the Northeast, where security was big, where we saw there were a lot of concerns around the prevalence of drug use, around how security has really deteriorated, you know, young people's access to business and things like that. And we've been to the Southeast, where we ended the retreat, where there are conversations around young people's aspiration as it relates to the secessionist agenda of the IPOB, and if young people even identify with that. So those are interesting conversations that we have had and we are having, and ultimately it's going to lead to the creation of a Nigerian futures document, the document that will represent the aspirations of young people in Nigeria and will then be cascaded into the Nigeria Agenda 2050.
Right. Apart from the national visioning exercise that has been carried out across the six geopolitical zones of Nigeria, I know there's also the debate competition, but what other programs are you involved in?
Yes, so that's one pillar. The national vision is one pillar. The other pillar is the youth leadership program, under which we have the debates that you mentioned, under which we have also the virtual community of practice, where we are training young people to be entrepreneurs, to be activists, and we're also reaching out to in-school youth in terms of young people within tertiary institutions. We also have the youth leadership development fund, you know, like the Nigerian Futures Fund says, there's a fund part which is focused around resourcing the ecosystem, inclusive resourcing, where we are empowering youth-led and youth-focused organizations questions to say that, okay, it's one thing, like I said, there is one thing to want to hold government accountable, but we believe so much that there is so much that young people themselves can do, yeah, as change agents. So the fund is focused around empowering young people to carry out, you know, initiatives and programs themselves that put responsibility and power in their hands as civic citizens, as civic, in terms of their civic responsibility. And this year alone, we are giving out close to $600,000 in grants to over 130 organizations and persons. And we believe that through this avenue, we're able to empower young people who are able to be change agents. And the projects that are implementing cuts across about 7 thematic areas, from healthcare to entrepreneurship and education to climate change to civic participation, about 7 thematic areas that we're working on, and we're empowering young people to be change agents in those areas. The third pillar of the NYFF is the online and media engagement, because, I mean, if one of the things that we see as a catalyst for social movements is the power that the media plays in terms of not even beyond behavioral change to also social mobilization. So we are also using the media as a tool for mobilizing young people, for empowering young people, and for ensuring that young people are informed. Ultimately, democracy cannot be efficient without an informed citizenry. It is only an informed citizen that would be able to make the right decision on who is elected. So there's a lot of efforts we're putting towards online and media engagement to ensure that, you know, we're able to have more young people who are, you know, empowered with information in terms of making the right choices. And there's a linkage, the Nigeria We Want, which is the catalyst for the hashtag across all programming priorities for the fund, is one that is linked to even the national visioning. So one of the low-hanging fruits for us in terms of short-term goal for the national vision is for us to develop an advocacy document that we're going to use for the 2023 elections. We're attempting that, at least for the very first time, young people will go to the polls reflecting on their aspirations and deciding to choose which candidate they vote for based on this aspiration. So we're going to, you know, ultimately moving the electorate beyond, oh, this person's an Igbo candidate or this person's a Yoruba candidate or an Hausa candidate, to making it issue-based, to say that, okay, we're voting for this person because this person has an agenda that says it's going to move young people out of poverty within the next 3 years using this XYZ strategy. Or we're going to vote for this person based on this person's stance on innovation. You know, things that connects to, because poverty does not recognize tribe or religion or any of those things. It's universal. And we believe that young people are the most desensitized as far as those bigotry issues. We believe that we're the generation that will have the capacity to vote beyond all of these sentimental issues or bigotry issues. So we want to make it an agenda-driven election where young people are able to make decisions and vote candidates that will represent their interests that cut across board, you know, are not based on identity politics as we find to be popular now.
Listening to you, Okwemi, I'm already so excited about the prospects of what we can achieve with the NYFF. Now let's talk a bit about the elections, right? In what ways are you expecting young people to participate in the upcoming elections?
Well, I would have used this opportunity to, you know, encourage young people to, you know, get their voters card, but I think the electioneering has moved beyond that. Now we are at the stage of making sure that young people come out en masse to vote. You know, we have the numbers. I mean, with 16 million, we have the determinant number to determine who emerges president in this country. That is the fact. Now, what is now left is for us to be able to mobilize our voices and stand as a united entity to decide who we are putting our vote for. So I'm not here to really campaign for any particular candidate or say that as NYFF, because we are political. Our agenda is issue-based, to say that who represents our interests the most as young people in Nigeria, you know, to address all of these issues. So one of the things that we are championing is massive voter turnouts. We want young people to come out and vote en masse. And we want their votes to be reflective, to be based on agenda, not based on the fact that this person is belongs to my ethnic group or, you know, rooted in all those Christian, Muslim, all of these, you know, pedestrian issues, but to actually make it issue-based. So this candidate represents this. And as such, as young people in this country, who we know that it's our future that is at stake. Because right now we have a system where, you know, the country is in the amount of debts that this country is presently in. The people who are incurring the debt are not the ones that are going to pay for it. So if our generation is the ones that are going to be paying this debt back, it's important right now that we vote people that are reflective of our future. People right now who have in mind that it is our generation right now who's going to bear the brunt. So there's that level of consciousness. You know, not people who want to use put their hands and their feet to eat it all today. They say it takes a visionary to plant a tree, knowing that it's not going to benefit from the shade that tree will provide. So we want leaders who are that responsive, who understand the concept of governance and concept of, you know, planning, as the case may be, who are, you know, in the interest of our own future as young people in this country. So so those are the kind of things that we have interest coming out to vote, and voting as an empowered citizen, as an informed and empowered citizen.
Coming out to vote as an informed and empowered citizen. This is really important. I mean, ensuring that we do not vote based on the biases that have plagued us in the past. We're really looking forward to seeing a good number of young people, you know, come out to vote at the polls next year. Now let's pivot back to the national visioning exercise. What has the experience been like across the 6 geopolitical zones?
I think one thing that stands out is our diversity as a country. This country is indeed a diverse country, and it could be an advantage to us because it means that different people come with different ideas and different perspectives that ultimately helps us develop as a country. But ultimately, it's been unfortunate that over the years, these differences has been exploited as divisions. Going across the country made that evident to me in terms of talking to young people. But one thing that I also found to stand out is the fact that young people are less likely to inherit bigotry. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be part of the True Federalism Committee, where I served as a consultant working with the committee headed by Governor El-Rufai at the time, where we went around the country. We were asking people, Nigerians, it wasn't youth focused. It was, you know, just like the confab of 2014, like Goodluck Jonathan did. And people were submitting memorandums across what the country they would like, state policing, state creation, derivation principle, what kind of government system we wanted to run. Maybe we wanted to do away with the presidential system and go back to the bicameral like we used to do. On a range of issues, about 14 issues, where citizens were expected to submit memorandums about. And one of the things that stood out to me at that time was the number of identity politics still rooted in the system. You know, there was a whole lot of agitation for Ijebu State, for Bendel State, a whole lot of, you know, the more you go, the more you realize that everybody wanted their own small enclave. You know, but in our engagements with young people now, I did not none of the engagement did we see identity politics or identity aspirations play out. And for me, that I found out to be inspirational, that young people are really the future of this country. In comparison, if I compare those two experiences of the True Federalism Committee output in terms of what we're getting as outcome from the people when we're engaging across board, from the outcome we're getting from engaging solely young people, I see right now how empowering, how encouraging it is. I really do believe that the future of this country is in the hands of young people, because there was less aspirations on, oh, we wanted a new state, or we wanted things that are rooted in identity, but rather we had more objective, more progressive ideas around, oh, how security can be better, around the challenges of the economy, around issues that were, you know, deep-rooted issues, that were the critical issues that should be the front burner, as opposed to all of the things you see are things that further divide us, not things that bring us together. So for me, it has shown more hope in the youth demography that, you know, with the right enabling environment, we really are the future, that if Nigeria will be better, it will be on the terms of the youth that the country presently has.
Wow. There is really hope for Nigeria, and I dare say Africa. It is really refreshing to hear that the Nigerian youth are more concerned about collective wins rather than individualistic goals. Now, so what happens next? I mean, after this national visioning document has been put together, how do you intend to utilize it?
So I would say that one of the things that are critical is the Nigeria Agenda 2050. That is a long-term plan for the country that is presently domiciled with the Ministry of Budget and National Planning. It's a multi-sectoral planning committee that sets a plan for an economic plan and an overview plan for the entire country, irrespective of what party wins the elections. And one of our key outputs for the document is to mainstream the aspirations of young people into this document. For starters, then also now ensuring that, you know, even for us at the fund, in terms of all of the activities we'll be doing at NYFF, is that all of the priorities, like for this year now, our funding priorities were based on 7 thematic areas. Now going forward, this document is going to influence all funding priorities. So I imagine that at the end of the document, there might be key 5, hypothetically speaking, maybe innovation, entrepreneurship, or security, for example, become the key points that we summarize as these are the aspirations and major concerns of young people. This is also going to influence even the programming that we do. at, you know, NYFF funding priorities and even within LEAP as an institution in terms of, okay, this is the aspiration of young people. It's going to now make it evidence-based. And we also want this to cascade around the entire youth ecosystem to say that we've gone across the country. This is what the voices of young people, young Nigerians are saying. You know, can we make our programming across all organizations working on youth development? Can we make it responsive? Can we be responsive to the yearnings of young people? So what we are developing is an ecosystem document that's going to enable programming in across the entire youth ecosystem. And it's also going to serve as a point of interface with the Ministry of Youth, who serves as a major government institution or parastatal, to say, okay, this is what young people are saying. Can we ensure that your own programming at the government level is also responsive and speaking to this? So these are some of the driving points that this document will help serve us. It's going to serve as an agenda that this is the Nigerian's futures document, youth futures document, to which everybody, even international partners who are looking to come into the youth ecosystem, can take strength to say that, okay, this is going to, these are the entry points, these are the issues we want to address. Everybody finds their bearing within that document.
Fantastic. Speaking about the Nigeria We Want campaign, what are the ways through which you believe young people can contribute to the actualization of a better Nigeria?
Right. So I'll say that it's important that we, every young person becomes an active citizen. You know, in some of the engagements we've had young people say things like, Nigeria gets the leaders it deserves. And to a certain degree, there is a level of credence or credibility to that statement that our leaders are a reflection of us. But I would now spin it more to now mean that the kind of leader we'd like to have, we need to become that citizen ourselves. So there is a level of responsibility that we as young people have to be able to be responsive, right? It starts from queuing up, to seeing a queue and deciding to want to jump the queue, or as much as even voting. Voting is the bare minimum of civic participation. What is that? We need to be more active in that. So we need to join political parties. We need to be involved. You know, we run a system where the elite determines what the choices of the masses are. So ultimately, it is until we young people decide to bring ourselves together, infiltrate these political parties, influence, be involved in the process that throws up leaders, and ultimately also participate in the process of electing those leaders. It is at that time that we will say that we are really pulling our weight. As it stands now, we are not involved in the process that throws up leaders. The very bare minimum that is thrown to us is just voting. You know, so most often than not, we find ourselves in a situation of the devil and the deep blue sea, when we can actually be part of that process that even involves who is being thrown up. So we have a responsibility as young people to be more participatory, to want to be model citizens ourselves, to live up to the responsibility of the type of leaders we want to have. You know, we are role models. We need to live by example. I have a mentor who would always say that if you're in a room of 10 people and you're the smartest in the room, when push comes to shove, you are the one who is going down first. Because if they have to take a poll at every time, 9 will always be greater than 1. So our first responsibility is how well we're able to make other people begin to think like us. If you have so much knowledge about what the right thing is, you have a responsibility to convert more people, to make people start to reason the way you reason. It is that way that change will begin to happen, and step by step, we begin to change our country. So I'll say that level of responsiveness to be active citizens is so important. And also we need to be more active in the process of political participation. So those are my two critical areas. And those are the two areas I believe that as young Nigerians, we must begin to, you know, move the needle.
Interesting. A few things stood out to me in your response. Active citizenship and political participation. Absolutely spot on. 9 will always be greater than 1, and our citizenship must reflect the kind of leadership we desire. Talking about desires, what is the Nigeria of your dreams?
Wow, that's a big question. So I would say the Nigeria of my dream is an inclusive country where there is a Nigerian dream. We talk about the American dream as a country where a child of nobody can become a somebody. That is the kind of Nigeria I want, where we share hard work and determination. You can become something. You know, where nepotism is not the order of the day, where you can almost guarantee that with hard work, you would always reach the top. So I want a system where fairness, equity, and justice prevails. That would be the Nigeria of my dream.
Fairness, equity, and justice. Let me dig a little deeper, right? Do you think that this dream can become a reality? And if yes, how soon do you think it can become a reality?
It's a controversial topic in terms of how soon will this Nigeria be realized. But ultimately, it still goes back to the action of one person. Change is a very slow process, however, you know, but we cannot afford to be defeated. Within our own small enclave, if every single person determines in Nigeria today, if we all decide today, now, that we want to follow traffic laws, automatically right now we have a better system of transportation. We have less accidents on the road automatically. So it comes back to willingness. If we are willing and we are definitely able, if we can all decide. So I would say that while I cannot be able to put a time frame to say that this is when, I believe that it can happen, it can start from tomorrow. All it takes is for us to all just agree and decide, and we follow what we've agreed to do. While it can take 10 years, it can also take 2 weeks. It all boils down to our ability to be willing and able to play our parts, let me say. So I think playing our part ultimately determines how and when this would happen. But I would say that, you know, as individuals, we need to play our parts. If we look at it from the angle of saying, oh, okay, this whole conjugate problem is so large, I don't know which day it will happen and all that. It will never happen. There will never be a time where Nigeria will be good, right? Because you keep on looking at the roles that other people would play, not your own role. But if you decide that you want to play your part, let's all be individually and collectively decide that, okay, we want to start playing our part. And it will happen sooner than later. So that's my own perspective to it.
That's true. Everyone has a role to play in making the Nigeria of our dreams a reality, but it ultimately begins with you. Yes, you. Now, Okwemi, what will you say to Nigerians who are pessimistic about a better Nigeria? As much as we believe that Nigeria will be better, there are a lot of young people who have even said, look, they will not vote in the upcoming elections because it will be rigged and Nigeria cannot change for the better. You know, what will you say to people in this category?
So I would say that first and foremost, we cannot afford to let apathy reign. Well, in fact, Nigeria's electoral system has improved. Gone are the days where ballot boxes were being snatched and votes were not counting. Now in Nigeria today, votes are counting. And it's going by the last elections that we've witnessed. Votes are counting. And I believe that this next year's election is going to be a watershed moment, especially with the introduction of BVAS, of voter identification, and all of the, you know, direct upload polling units. So I would say that, and Nigeria is also 60. How old are we in Nigeria? I think we're 62 now. All of these other countries that we're comparing ourselves with, they are 200 years old democracies, and they are still a work in progress, you know? So it goes to show that any social engagement that is driven by people is not a perfect system, but it takes people who believe to continue to work at it, and everybody playing their part to which change eventually happens. I'll give you a perfect instance. In 2011, was it? Yeah, 2011, there about when Barack Obama was running for office. I was in the US at the time, and I was engaging my family members who were doctors, uncles and aunties then, who had been in the US maybe 10 years before that time. And for some reason, the young me connected with Obama, and I felt that this man is going to become the next president. And the reality of it was that it was easy for me to have that aspiration because I wasn't rooted in the racism and all whatnot that America was associated with at the time, right? But I just connected with that hope, and his candidacy resonated with me for maybe my own bias or for some reason. But all of them on the table who have been in America for at least the minimum person there has been in America for over 10 years, do not think it was possible due to their own lived experience of racism and what they've experienced firsthand, and even having to rise above all of that. Do not think it was possible that America would get to that place, or was at that place at the time, to have elected a Barack Obama, a black man, as president, right? But eventually that happened. Now, I'm using that right now to connect with other young people who are not believers to say that if that could happen, it all it takes is for one person to believe and to mobilize other people right now to key into that dream. So the world is for believers, you know, even in your own personal goal or aspirations as a person to come from nothing and amount to something, it took you believing that it was possible. Likewise, Nigeria as well. All it takes is for us to believe that it's possible. And once there's a will, there is a way. We would work towards it. So it's the same thing, especially with social experiments or, you know, like in our own democracies, that Nigeria is a great country. We have all of the resources, all of the manpower, all of the creativity. That is why it's so evident that Nigerians go abroad and they excel in places where nobody thought that they would amount to anything. So all it takes right now is for us to put our country on that right course as well, where it is enabling, where a child of nobody can become somebody. Like I'll say, it starts with you. It starts with each individual person. And until we as individuals decide within our mind that it's possible, it is only then that it can happen. So for as long as we still think it is not possible, it's not going to happen. So my word is that we don't have any other country to run to. We have to believe. It starts with believing. We don't have a choice but to believe. And we have enough reasons to believe by the sheer level of resources that God has blessed us with, and with the human capital that we also have as a people, the creativity, the ingenuity that we have as a people. Nigeria is set on the right course. It just means right now just having the right leaders and having the right citizens, you know, to take us to that promised land.
That's it, guys. The word is believe. If you can believe it, we can achieve it. Now, as we wrap up this discussion, do you have any final words you'd like to share?
final words would just be that a new Nigeria is possible on our terms. If we all put in the work and play our parts, a new Nigeria can be realized. Final words would be to encourage everyone to play their part, you know, by following that cue, not jumping the cue, voting, participating, just living up to what you expect your leader to be, what you would like your leader to be. Try and be that person in your daily living, your daily existence as a Nigerian. That'll be my final words.
Thank you so much, Okpayemi.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Wow. You will agree with me that that was an insightful and inspiring discussion with Okpayemi Orinowo, the project lead for the Nigeria Youth Futures Fund, NYFF. A better Nigeria is absolutely possible if we believe and play our part as individuals and as a people. Dear listener, I'm sure you have been inspired by today's podcast. Please remember to share with your friends and take time to listen to other episodes that you might have missed. You can always listen to the Youthful and Useful podcasts via Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or anchor.fm/Leap Africa. And it is also available on the Leap Africa website at www.leapafrica.org. Once again, my name is Joy Binedion, and until I come your way next time, stay youthful and useful.